Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, the second Sunday after Easter, marks 12 years since I was installed as pastor of this congregation. And I preached my first sermon here the following Sunday, the third Sunday after Easter. Like today, the gospel for that Sunday was from John chapter 10, about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Since the Wells liturgical calendar is off by a week from the historical calendar which we follow here, this Sunday of John chapter 10 varies. So both this day in the church year and this chapter from John's Gospel hold special meaning for me, as I'm still privileged to stand before you 12 years later. Regardless of whether we hear this gospel from John chapter 10 on the second or the third Sunday after Easter, it's fitting that we hear this text after Easter, because it took Good Friday and Easter Sunday to show us the full import of Jesus' words. It's the crucified and risen shepherd who shepherds his sheep. He did that shepherding by living and by dying. He does that shepherding by sending and bringing. I am the good shepherd, says the Lord. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, he calls himself good in contrast with the bad. The bad shepherd, the hireling, as Jesus calls him. The hireling, according to the gospel, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Well, who is the wolf? The wolf, of course, is the devil. And the devil has power over people because of sin. Power to accuse them before God, power to hold their guilt over them, power to drag them to hell, finally. And no one could be free from his power because no one is without sin. No, not one. As Isaiah wrote, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Now, when did we last hear those words? We heard those words from the prophet Isaiah on Good Friday. Why? Because, as Isaiah's prophecy continues, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The scriptures of Good Friday should still be fresh in your minds. Now tie them to Jesus' words, "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." He gave it in every way, by living and by dying, by his life and by his death. The Son of God took on our flesh and lived among us as both God and man. He devoted his life to serving us by preaching the truth about us as sinners, the truth about him as the one who freely forgives sins to all who trust in his name. And finally, he did lay down his life as the atoning price for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. It's the good shepherd you should picture on Good Friday, hanging from a cross, bloody, dying, and dead. That's what it meant to see the wolf coming for his sheep and to stand his ground for the sake of the sheep, so that he might be attacked and killed instead of us. He shepherded his people by living and by dying. And of course, it's the same good shepherd whom you should also picture risen from the dead, perfectly healed and alive again on Easter Sunday. Healed except for those marks of his crucifixion in his hands and in his side, which he showed to Thomas, as we heard in last week's gospel. Signs, marks, which he chose to retain as the scars of the shepherd in his battle against the wolf. And even as he wants you to remember his resurrection from the dead always, so by those marks, he also wants you to remember always his crucifixion, so that you never look at sin lightly, but always remember the blessed cost of your redemption, the holy, precious blood of your shepherd. Jesus' life on earth and his innocent death and his glorious resurrection are his great shepherding acts of the past. But he isn't done shepherding his sheep. He has more shepherding to do. And yet, it was never Jesus' plan to stay on earth in visible form to shepherd his flock from Jerusalem or from some other earthly location. Imagine how sad that would have been. A shepherd who lived on the other side of the world, whom you could never see unless you journeyed to where he was and then could never get through to him because of all the other people trying to get through to him. A shepherd who only had so much time to spend with you because he had so many other people to spend time with. No, the Lord had a different plan for this New Testament era with a different form of shepherding in mind. Jesus says in our gospel, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd." But that bringing into the one flock didn't happen, or at least was far from being finished during Jesus' earthly life. This is the bringing the Good Shepherd does through the shepherds whom he has been sending into the world since Easter Sunday, and whom he will continue to send until all the sheep are found who are to be found, until the whole flock is gathered into the one holy, Catholic, that is Christian, and apostolic church. So it is Jesus who sends the shepherds, as Paul writes to the Ephesians. Christ himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry. That means that every pastor in Christ's church is placed exactly where the Good Shepherd wants him, at that place and at that time, so that he might preach to men through the humble service of men, so that he might have his voice heard through the voice of a man, so that he might gather his sheep, minister to his sheep, forgive the sins of his sheep on an ongoing basis, and preserve them in his flock through that very same preaching and through the administration of his holy sacraments. So too, it is Jesus who brings the sheep, who went looking for each and every one of you where you were, and brought you to holy baptism and to faith. "I know my sheep," he says, "and am known by my own." He knew you since before the foundations of the world were laid, and he knows you still. Even if no one else on earth truly knows you, he knows you, who you are, what you need, what you've done, and what you will do. And he ministers to you to supply your every need of body and soul, and keeps providing his means of grace so that you may be preserved in his flock. And now, as St. Peter wrote in today's gospel, he also calls you, as his sheep, to do good to others and for others, just as your good shepherd did good. And he calls you to be willing to suffer for doing good, just as your good shepherd was willing to suffer for doing good. That means actually living as the light and the salt of the earth. That means taking this Christian faith seriously, living a life that stands out in the world, that stands out in goodness, and that shines with the truth, that honors God's word above all things. You will suffer in this world if you live like that, but then you'll just be walking in the footsteps of your good shepherd, following behind him wherever he goes, first to shame and then to glory. May the voice of the good shepherd ring in your ears again today and every day. You know him. Now follow him. He will make you to lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. He will be with you as you walk even through the valley of the shadow of death. And he will follow you with his goodness and mercy all the days of your life until you dwell safely in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.